Welcome back, everybody, to Daf Yomi. Today we're up to Daf Mem Tes in Maseches Bava Metzia, 49 in Maseches Bava Metzia. We are going to be starting from Mem Ches Amud Beis, about six lines up from the bottom, second to last word on the line, Lema Kitanai. So let's just catch ourselves up. What is this machlokas that we are talking about? So we said, Itmar Yeravon, Rav Amar Kinegdo Hu Kone. So when you give some sort of down payment, you pay a partial payment for something, how much of it have you been Kone? So Rav says that you've been Kone the equivalent amount to the amount of money that you put in. That's how much of the object you've been Kone. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kineged Kula Hu Kone. That you've gone and acquired every element of this. How did we get into this discussion? Because we were talking about Mishapara, right? We were talking about Mishapara with Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. And we said, oh, he definitely knows about it. So what are you informing him about? Because we had a whole discussion, whether you're just informing the person or whether we are actually cursing the person, right? Remember? We said, are we just informing the person that there's a curse associated with this, or are we actually cursing the person himself? So we said, if it were talking about Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, he doesn't know about this curse. He never learned the Mishnayos. He doesn't know about Mishapara. And the answer was, no, maybe he does know about Mishapara, but he had this discussion, this machlokas, whether if I only pay partially, is that considered as if I have now acquired the entire thing? And that's what he was really uncertain about. So says the Gemara, Lema Ketanai. Let's say that this is really a machlokas. Tanayim Amalves, Chavir Ala Mashkon. Let's say I go and lend Binyamin money, and I collect collateral for Vinichnasa Shemitah, and now Shemitah comes. Why is this important? Because we know that normally Shemitah does what to loans? Shemitah normally cancels loans. But when it comes to a loan al Hamashkon, then it is not going to cancel the loan. Why not? Says Rashi over here. Delo Karina Be Lo Yigo Shareino Tovo Klum. The reason why we say that Shemitah cancels loans, and the way the Torah expresses this is Lo Yigo Says Reo Viesachiv, that you're not allowed to go and press your brother or the person who you lent money to go and pay you back. But when you have a Mashkon, you don't need to press anyone to pay back, because if they don't pay back, you have the Mashkon, so it's fine. So then, therefore, this changes the laws in terms of canceling loans when we have a mashkon. It's a totally different idea. It's a totally different halacha. So says the Gemara again, Amavas, Chavir Ala Mashkon, Vinich Nusa Shemitah, and then Shemitah comes. Afal Pishenu Shava Ela Plag, Eno Meshamet, Divir Abisham Gamliel. So Abisham Gamliel says, even if this mashkon is only worth half of the amount of the loan, still the loan is not going to be canceled. That's what Reb Shimon Gamliel says. Reb Yudah Hanasi says, "Imaya mashkon kineged halvaso eino meshamid v'im lav meshamid." If the mashkon is equal to the amount of the loan, then it will not cancel. Otherwise, it will be canceled. We are three lines from the bottom on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, so we can probably already fit this in ourselves. How would the two machlokesim be connected? So the same way the machlokes is, when you have a down payment, does that now give you the rights to the entire object? Are you now the owner of the entire object, or just the amount that you put in? Same thing over here. Would the mashkon have to be the amount of the entire loan in order to go and stop the cancellation of the loan for Shemitah? So says the Gemara, wait, we got to understand this. What does this mean that it doesn't cancel the loan that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said when it comes to Shemitah? If we're saying that what it means is let's say there was a loan of $100 and the mashkon's worth $50, that means 50 of the dollars are not going to be canceled in terms of Shemitah. That seems to imply, then that means that Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, who argues on him, would say that even the 50 that is equal to the amount of the Mashkon would be canceled. Why would someone even do this Mashkon? What's the purpose of a Mashkon if it's not going to save you at all? There's got to be some benefit to using a Mashkon, so it can't be that that's the Machlokas. Elav Shmamina. Shema minei, my eno meshamit to come Rav Shimon Gamliel. What is when we say eno meshamit, when we say that it's not going to be canceled, that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what's this referring to? Eno meshamit bikulo. It means that the entire loan is not going to be canceled. So again, I lend Binyamin $100. He gives me back a $50 mashkon. He gives me back a $50 mashkon. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says the entire $100 loan is not going to be canceled by Shemitah because of this $50 mashkon. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. Umay mishami to come Rav Yudah HaNasi. See, now when Rav Yudah HaNasi argues and says that it is canceled, what's he referring to? La'achpal gadalo nakir alei mashkon. Because he's holding that what? The $50 that's not covered by the mashkon, that is what's going to be canceled. What'd you say? Right, that's what's going to be canceled. And this is what they're arguing about. We also have our Keneged Kulo Hukone, because Rav Shimon Gamliel also says that even if you've only given part of it, you can go and acquire all of it. But Rav Yehuda Anasi Savar Kenegdo Hukone, that you're only going to be acquiring the amount that you put in, like the Shita of Rav. And that seems to be the same machlokas. So that's what we're saying. Lema ketanai, that really it's the same machlokas as what's going to cancel Shemitah and what's not when it comes to a mashkon. Says the Gemara, lo, no, not necessarily. They're not the same machlokas. Why? Because my ina mashami to come Rav Shimon Gamliel. Because really, what does it mean when Rav Shimon Gamliel said that Shemitah is not going to cancel the law? And what's that really referring to? L'hach pag denakir alei mashkon. That's talking about the half that the mashkon was on. So again, I lend Binyamin 100 bucks, he gives me a mashkon for 50. So we're talking about the 50. That's what's not going to be canceled. And when we mentioned this the first time, we asked a question. We said, what? Then that would mean that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that even the 50 for the mashkon does get canceled. So we said, then what's the purpose of using a mashkon? If not for the fact of stopping the cancellation of a Shemitah, what's the purpose of a mashkon? Mashkon denakit lamali. So this question that we just mentioned, what's the purpose of the mashkon according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? Says Gemara, there's another purpose of a mashkon, not just necessarily to save you from cancellation by Shemitah, but lezichron dvarim bialma, because it's there to remind us that there was such a loan. When I'm looking around and I see the $50 from Binyamin, you know, Binyamin gave me something that's worth 50 bucks, I can't think of an example. I'm sure the watch is more, but I'm just using watches because I see it. He gave me the watch, so... I'm messing around with you. So it's, he gave me his watch. So I'll remember, it's not necessarily that I'm taking the value. It's that, oh right, Binyamin owes me 100 bucks. And this is the reminder over there for that. Good. Says the Gemara, Rav Kahana Yavulei Zuzei Akisna. So Rav Kahana was given money for, what's the word? What's Kisna? For... what'd you say?
Linen.
For linen, right? So he was given money for linen. L'sofa yakir kisna. So he was given some money for this linen. And then what happened was, is the linen went up in value. So asal kameh d'rav. So we went in front of Rav. Amrale b'mayna dinakita zuze havlehu. So what did he want to do? Meaning he wanted to back out of the sale, right? He wanted to back out of the sale. He agreed. Let's say I agreed to sell my linen to Binyamin for 100 bucks. But now, before... he's only given me a little bit of this money, and now it goes up to 200 bucks. So I want to renege on the sale and resell it on the market. So he said, Amarle, b'may dinakitas zuze havlu. So he said, that which the amount, let's say Binyamin gave me 20 bucks so far, so I have to give him 20 bucks worth of linen, so that I could do v'idach dvarim ninu. And the rest of it is just words, meaning we just had a verbal agreement, and that's fine. That you can back out of. But the money that he paid you, even though, again, it was a $100 sale, and he only gave me 20 of the dollars, so I have to give him $20 worth, but the rest I can back out of. Udvarim ein bahem yishum mechusrei amana. And when it comes to dvarim, when it comes to words, backing out of your word does not make you an untrustworthy person. Interesting. So what exactly does this mean? Meaning again, so Rashi explains, what does it mean, just backing out of words? So no, it doesn't mean for no reason. It means that going into the sale, when I sold it to Binyamin for 100, I fully meant it. It happens to be that now the entire market has shifted in that time, so I'm not backing out for no reason. I'm backing out for a pretty valid reason. That does not make me someone who's not considered trustworthy, just because I'm backing out of this for a valid reason. Ditmar, because how do I know this? Dvarim, when it comes to words, Rav Amar Ein Bahem Yishum Mechusrei Amana. Rav says, we are not going to view this person as untrustworthy. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Bahem Mishum Mechusrei Amana. And Rabbi Yochanan says that we do consider this person untrustworthy. This seems to be how we paskin. Look at the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah over there. You see? The Ein Mishpat, right? There's a little bays there. You see this? If you look at the top left, it says, Maimon Perek Zayin Milchus Mechira Lachaches, and the Smag over there in the Aseh Pei Bays, and the Tor Shulchan Aruch Choshin Mishpat, Simen Reish Dalet Seif Zayin. It's Zion, right? Right? So, what did you say?
Yeah, Zion.
Right, so over there. So you see, you could see where to look it up in terms of looking the halacha. We should just be familiar with the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. But anyway, so he says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Ba Mishum Mechusrei Amana. So when it comes to words and reneging on your word, so you are considered untrustworthy. So now we're going to have to go and try to prove this discussion. So Meisvei...
what's the difference between Mishukara and...
oh, very good. So we're going to talk about that. That's going to come up in the Gemara. So comes the Gemara, right? So backing out of words versus backing out of a sale. When we said Mishapara in our Mishnah, that was once the Kinyan Kesef has already happened, right? And then we said backing out yesterday, we spoke about how when you back out, there's another level. There's Mishapara, let's say, is the worst. And then there's... Ein ruach hachamim No chahei men aware. The chacham aren't thrilled with you, right? Not something so great. So we have to figure this out. Says Gemara, Meisve, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudamar, Ma Tamal Lomar, Hin Tzedek. So what does the pasuk teach me when it says Hin Tzedek? So what's this pasuk? So this is the pasuk, Vayikra Perik Yates, pasuk Lam Mevav. It says, Mosne Tzedek, Avne Tzedek, Efas Tzedek, Hin Tzedek, Vihin Tzedek, Yelacham, Ani Hashem Elokecham, Asher Tzitzi Eslem, Me Eretz Mitzrayim. Now, great drush over there. Just what is that? Or what is having faulty weights and measures? What does that have to do with Hashem? I'm Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. So, what's the answer? Hashem is exact in the way He does things. So we have to be exact in the way we do things. But anyway, what it says over here is Hin Tzedek. But if you look at the puzzle again, it says Mosne Tzedek, Avne Tzedek, Efas Tzedek. So Efa is a bigger measurement than Hin. So it says Hin Tzedek after. Is it Mosne Tzedek, Avne Tzedek, Hin Tzedek? No, it's not that. How does it go? I thought it's like. Yeah, it's a great puzzle. Hin tzedek, so v'halo hin b'chal eifahi, but hin is included in an eifah, right? So eifah is a larger measurement. So if we're saying that you have to be very exact with a larger measurement, of course you have to be more exact with smaller measurements. So what does this mean? El omar alchi hey hin shelcha tzedek v'lav shelcha tzedek. So we darshan out not hin as in the measurement, but hein as in yes. When I'm agreeing to something, when I'm saying yes to something, and when I'm saying no to something, when I'm saying how I feel about something, that has to be honest. So it means that we got to be honest in what we're trying to do. That's what it means, that we have to be honest people. We have to use our words to talk honestly. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hahu shelo yidaber echa bepev yecha belev. No, what this really means is that we shouldn't be one thing in our hearts and one thing in our mouths. That we got to try to be as much tocho kibaro as we possibly can. Now, I always talk about how we have to make sure that that does not stop us from moving forward. Meaning, let's say we do feel a little bit of inconsistency, that like, oh, I struggle with this, and now I want to do that. So consistency is something that we strive for. But in terms of our interpersonal type of thing, the Rambam talks about this at length, and the Rambam talks about, oh, I can look, so if you look at Dalit over there, there he talks about it in Hilchos Deos, right? That's right. In Hilchos Deos, he talks about this, and he says that our goal is to go and talk to people in a real way, to be real people. This is where he talks about, like, Gnevas Das, you know, inviting someone over when you know they absolutely can't come, or things along those lines, or telling someone, you advertise that you're selling kosher meat to Goyim, so you're not violating Yisurim if you sell them non-kosher, but if you advertise a certain way, then you should sell a certain way, and being just honest and not over-flattering and all these things. So that's what it means, Shalihei, so this is a rejection of the proof, meaning we wanted to prove that you need to go and Dvarim actually do matter, meaning that you can become or deemed untrustworthy based on just Dvarim by itself, based on just words. But we said, no, that's talking about that you got to just try to stay as consistent as possible. All right, next proof. So we said that even though when it comes to a talis and a dinar zav, the talis is considered the object and the dinar zav is considered the cash, and that way the kinyan is going to work, but the other way it's not going to work if you want to have the dinar zav as the cash, meaning if you do the kinyan kesef itself, that's not going to fully work. Mikol makom kach halacha, but still the halacha is that even though that's the halacha, that the kinyan only fully takes place when there's a meshicha on the object itself. But still we have this concept of a mishapara. Now what's tricky over here is you have to look at Rashi in order to understand this Gemara. Aval amru chacham in the gomer mechulu. So Rashi says seifa katani, that we're going on the seifa of this brisa. Remember, we quoted this, that the kinyan kesef itself, this was on the top of daf mem chesem and aleph yesterday. We said the kinyan kesef itself doesn't work in a full way. You need to have a kinyan meshicha, but there's a mishapara. But then the seifa of that statement said seifa katani achozer bo, that someone who reneges on their kinyan kesef, on their word, even before the kinyan kesef, someone who reneges on the word, ein ruach hacham no chaymenu. So we said that the chacham are not happy with you. Alma yesh ba mishum mechusrei amana. If the chacham are not happy with you, that seems to be at least saying that you're not considered a trustworthy person, a good guy. And we see that backing out of a deal, even just a verbal agreement, does seem to make you into a non-trustworthy person, right? So this seems to go and be a proof in that way. It says Gemara, no, Tanayi. Really, that's also a machlokas Tanayim. This is not so clear cut. Why Ditnan? Because we have a Mishnah. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya. Because we have a story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya. Shamar Livno. He went to his son. They have a family business, and his son is involved in the business. So he went to his son, and he said, Tzev Eshachar Lanu Poalim, go and work out and hire workers for us. So Halachu Pasak Lahem Mizono. So we went out, and he offered people, oh, you can have this meal and that meal, and we'll feed you if you come work for us. Ukeshaba eats a lovev when he came to his father, Amar lo, Bini, afilu ata ose lehem kisuda shlomo b'shaito, lo yatsus yidei chovascha imaim, shem b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. You didn't specify what type of food. You just said a meal. If you're going to just say a meal, and we're talking to kings and queens and princes and princesses, because anyone who's the children of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov deserves a feast like Shlomo HaMelech in his prime, so then you've now put us in a very tough spot. So what did the father say? Ela ad shelo yaskilu b'melacha, before they start working, tzeva amro lehem amanasha in lachem alai ela pas v'kitnis b'vat. Say, we're only going to pay you, we're only going to feed you bread and beans alone. But now says the Gemara, if you're going to say that reneging on a verbal agreement is what? Going to turn you into an untrustworthy person. How could the father go and say, go change the terms of the deal? It's too late. We don't want to make you untrustworthy. How could this be? Says Gemara, no, shiny hasam, depalm gufay lo sam chadai tayu. When they hear the kids say that we're going to get you the best meals and we're going to make it happen, they don't actually think this is what's happening. My time, why? Because mayna yadid alavu o samach. They know he's just working for the father. They know if the father knew, the real boss knew what was really being offered, there's no way that that's really the case. But says Gemara, wait a minute, if they're not actually taking anything seriously, maybe this whole offer sheet in the first place, this whole offer to come work, maybe that was also not actually coming from the father. No. No, they for sure thought that was happening because they think, okay, he went and told his father that he hired us, but then the father was upset about the money amount, about the payment amount, because they promised him this amazing feast. They promised him doma, and really they were only going to give them, see, I don't give that other side of the example. You see, that's a trap. Home cooking. Home cooking is more valuable, right? Yeah, right. If I was going to say home cooking, right? I think I'm safe there. If Alana ever listens to Kiddush, to Bava Metzia Daf Mem Tes, I think I'm pretty safe there. But anyway. So that's the only thing that the father objected to. But of course he sent us to go and actually do the working. So now comes the Gemara and says, though, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Again, what was Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan said that Dvarim alone, just reneging on a verbal agreement, makes you untrustworthy. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? But Rabbi Yochanan says that, let's say I go and I say, Binyamin, I'm going to get you a present. So I'm allowed to go and renege on that. Yachob Shita. It's obvious that I'm able to renege. Ela Mutter Lachzerbo. That I'm allowed to go and renege on that. So how could this be? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, Umodah Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan agrees, b'matana muetas to some chadai tayu. No, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that when it comes to a small matana, so then you might actually have to go and give it because there's smichas das. If I tell Binyamin I'm going to get him something small, so he actually believes that's going to happen. That can create something there. Hachanami mistabra, Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael Sha'amar Leven Levi, Kor Meister Yeshli Biyadi. So we can also prove this, that a small gift is different than a big gift. By a big gift, if I tell Binyamin, I'm going to get him a major, major gift. I'm going to give you a $1 million gift. Like, you don't actually think that's going to happen. But if I tell you, I'm going to go get you, you know, a box of tissues, that's something that's practical that you might think this. And we could prove this from the fact that we have another statement in Chazal where it says that if a Yisrael goes to a Levi and says, I have a core of Meiser that I'm going to give you, meaning I'm separating my Meiser and it's going to be going to you. So Ben Levi, Rashai, Laso, So, Trumas Meiser, Amakom Acher. So a Ben Levi is allowed to calculate that into his amount. He's allowed to use that into how he separates his Trumas Meiser, and he's allowed to give Meiser based on the amount that the Yisrael told him he's going to have. If we say that you're not allowed to back out of some sort of verbal agreement, I understand why the Levi is allowed to go and separate and make future Trumas and Maestros decisions based on that statement. But if he's allowed to renege on that deal, if the Yisrael is allowed to say, actually, never mind, I don't want to give it to you anymore, then what's going to come out is the Levi is going to go and eat some tevel, it's going to cause major issues. So it must be that you are not allowed to renege on a verbal agreement. So no one says, Gemara, Achamai Askinah, Gon Shenatlu, Mimenu V'chazer V'ifkidu Etzel. No, we're talking about a situation where Levi already got it from the Yisrael. I went to Binyamin, and I'm, it actually works, I'm a Levi, right? So I went to Binyamin, I already collected the Miser, but then I gave it back to Binyamin to watch it for me. That's what we're talking about. But says Gemara, wait a minute. If that's the case, let's look at the Seifa. Let's say Binyamin then decided to give it to someone else. I don't have any actual claim on him, but I'm allowed to be mad at him. But I don't have any actual financial claim on him. I might have some complaints, but no actual claim. But if we're talking about a case where I actually collected it from Binyamin, so I was koned, and then I gave it back to him to watch because I'm going on vacation for a minute, and I want to come back and make sure that it's still going to be there. But if that's the case, then what? Then I did already make a kinyan on it, and I don't just have complaints on him. I have a valid monetary argument on him if he gives away my money. I have a valid monetary argument on him. It must be talking about a case where I didn't actually touch this, and what we see from here, it comes to the conclusion, we see Dvarim do make you untrustworthy over here. Now let's get through some stories. So there was a certain person who was selling or buying, meaning we had a financial transaction when it comes to sesame seeds. So me and Binyamin again, let's just use it. So I go and say, Binyamin, I'm going to buy sesame seeds from you. So I give him the money for the sesame seeds. But I never actually made a kinyan on the sesame seeds themselves. Then sesame seeds shoot up. They go to the moon. And all of a sudden their value is tremendously higher than they were. Hadru Bahu, Va'amrulay, Les Le Shum Shemei Shakol Zuzeh. So Binyamin gives me back my money, and he says, I don't actually have any sesame seeds, because why is he saying that? Because he wants to, he doesn't want to sell it to me, right? He wants to resell it to someone else. So Binyamin says, I don't actually have any sesame seeds. Here's your money, take it back. Lo Shakol Zuzeh. I say, I don't believe you. I'm not taking the money back. I'm waiting until I can get my sesame seeds. I'm not taking my money back. So Ignov. And then in the interim, during this whole dispute, so Binyamin doesn't want my money. I don't want my money. And then it gets stolen. So who's responsible for that? Asul kamei deravus. They went from Rava Amarle Kivin da Amre Lach Shakul Zuzev Lo Shakalta Lomi Baya Shomer Sacher De Lo Ave Alafilu Shomer Chinam Nami Lo Ave. Because since Binyamin tried to give me back my money and I refused to take it, not only is he not a Shomer Sacher, he's not a Shomer Chinam, and therefore he's not going to be chayev even for Gneiva Vaved. He's not going to be chayev in this situation, no matter what happens. Even if there was an onus, he wouldn't be chayev. So he's not going to be chayev over here. Amrulei Rabbanon the Rava, Rabbanon said to Rava, but v'habayi l'kabulei alav mishapara. So granted, he's not going to be chayev to give, but he should have to accept this curse, this mishapara. He should have this mishapara. Amrulehu, yeah, hachanam. Yeah, he will have to. This is a mishapara situation. So they're going to tell him, they're going to say, Binyamin, you don't have to pay back the money that was taken, but you could pay back the money, option number one, or option number two, you don't have to pay back the money, but you'll have to be subject to this mishapara curse, and then he can decide what he wants to do.
Sounds like the money's hefker. If he's not a Shomer Chinam, he's not a Shomer
Sacher. So why? What's the status of this money?
Yeah.
So it sounds like so it's hard. He's some sort of Shomer, but there's no liability because he's made it expressly clear that I'm not responsible for anything that happens. This is kind of back to like the Bava Kamma stuff that we've seen, and even earlier in this Masechta, if you give me money and I say, I want no part in watching this, you could put it in my house, but I want no part in watching it. I'm not responsible. So it's not nobody's money. It's just, I'm not responsible for it. But here, where there's this trickier situation, so there's a mishapara. Right, that's definitely the second case. But I think that's the same, that's why the second case is brought. Right, so let's go further. So Saul already saw this.
It didn't make sense in the wording. It's not only a shomer sacher, but even a shomer chinam.
No, meaning it's not a shomer sacher where you're saying that chayv b'ginei v'aveda. So it's not even a shomer chinam where you would think, okay, there's still going to be chayv in onsen, even if, let's say the money got hit by lightning the next day. Still, he's not going to be chayev for that. Or not, and I'm sorry, even if it was negligence, I'm sorry, pshia. Even if he was tremendously negligent, he's still not going to be chayev over there. That's what it's saying. Sorry, yes. Amar Rav Papi, Amar Li Ravina Lididi Amar Li. So Rav Papi said, Ravina said to me that it was said to me, Ahumir Rabbanan, that one of the rabbis, Rav Tavos Shmei, Rav Tavos, who was basically there when this was all happening, Amar Li Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei, and some say Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, Diyavu Yave Le Kocha Lala Di Amma Lo Hava Kamashani Bidibur, that even if all the treasure in the world is offered to him, he wouldn't go and change anything. He wouldn't change the way he is. Bididi Hava Uvda, and the story happened with me. The whole way that the story was portrayed, fake news. That's not what it was. It wasn't with this sesame seed case and it went up and he didn't want to sell it. What happened really? Hahu yoma afnis tamali shabsahava. Really, it was right before Shabbos and someone came to my door. Vahava yasiv navasu ahu gavra v'kaya abab. And I was sitting there and someone came and knocked on my door. Amar lei, and he said to me, Amar li, I have all this money. Do you have any sesame seeds to sell me for Shabbos? So Amri lay low. And I go back and say, no, I actually don't have any. So Amri lay, so can you watch my money for me? Because it's getting late. It's almost time for Shabbos. And I need somewhere to put my money. So Amri lay ha beis lakamach. And he says, your house is... And I go and I say to this guy, your house, my house is yours. Meaning, you could put it anywhere in my house you want, but I'm not taking responsibility for your money. But go do what you want. Osvinu bebesi, so we put it in my house, the ignov, and then it was stolen. Usul kamedrava, so they went in front of Rava Amarle, Koha Besa, Kamach, Lomi Baya Shomer Sachar de Lohavi, Elosh Afilu Shomer Chinam Nami Lohavi. Anytime I say, go, do be my guest. Go do be my guest actually makes sense here. Go be my guest. Put stuff in the house wherever you want. But again, I'm not taking responsibility. So I'm not a Shomer Sachar, and I'm not even gonna be a Shomer Chinam, where even if there's a Pshia, if I don't lock my doors at night, I'm not gonna be responsible. So that's why I think that this is what's being brought. I think this is just saying out what it means in the last one. Amre,
I wonder the status of the money.
I think the money is that it's, you got to say, you're putting it in my house, it's your money, it just happens to be in my possession. But it's not, I took no responsibility. Right, I don't think it's hefker.
If you steal it, then what happens?
The ganav's still going to be chayev. I think the ganav's still going to be chayev, but the question is now we're talking about, let's say you can't find this ganav anymore, who's responsible to pay back for what? So says Gemara, Amri lei, va'amri lei rabbanon l'ravi, bai lei l'kbuei lei mishipara. Oh, but how could that be the version of the story? Meaning that story sounds much nicer. It was Erev Shabbos, you were doing a favor. I go, yeah, you could use my house. This is like a beautiful Isha Torah story. This now turned into a wonderful story, but there's only one problem. The end of the story was where we said that you have a choice. Either pay back the money or take the mishipara. But why would there be a mishipara here? Says Gemara, va'amri lei lei l'kbuei lei. He says, no, that part was totally fake news. That was all made up. None of that actually ever happened. Good. Says Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer, remember, we finished our Mishnah and we said that what? Only the mocher has the upper hand. Whoever has the money is able to renege, but otherwise the other person is not able to. So Tanyam Rabbi Shimon Masai, Bizman Sha Kesef Apiros Biyad Mocher. So when's the seller allowed to back out? When what? When he has both the money and the produce. So if I pay Binyamin for his fruit, and Binyamin has my money and he has his fruit, that's when Binyamin's able to back out. But aval kesef biyad mocher upiros biyad lokeach inu yacholach zorbam neshe kaspo biyado. But if I have collected the fruit from Binyamin, he has my money, then neither of us are able to back out. It says Gemara biyado. What does that mean? The reason why we're no longer able to back out is because I have the money in my hand. I'm the buyer. I have the fruit in my hand, not the money. Biyad mocherhu. The money's in Binyamin's hand, not in my hand. Elam neshe dmei kaspo biyado. No, what it means is that I have the value of the money, meaning I gave Binyamin the money, Binyamin gave me the fruit, so I have the value in my hands. Pshita, but that's obvious. Of course you can't back out once a sale is totally complete. Me and Binyamin have very complicated business dealings. Why? Because I'm going and buying from him, but he's storing his stuff in my property because I rented him out an apartment in my apartment building. So he's living in my building, but it's his stuff that I'm buying. So time am I takin rabbanu mishicha, meaning remember this whole reason, we've seen this like 10 times already in the last 2 days. Why do we have this gzeira midrabbanu about mishicha? Even if you hold that money is kona mido rice, we still need mishicha because we're afraid that what? Maybe my stuff's going to be burning in your possession and you're not going to go and save it because you already got your money. So gzeira shemi yarmolo nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah. But hachabir shuzida lokech ninu. Here, if Binyamin's stuff is burning, or I'm going to be careful, we're both going to be careful. Binyamin's going to be careful because he wants to make sure that he's not going to be responsible to pay me for the damage and stuff. I'm going to be responsible because it's my apartment building. So we both have stuff over here. Nefel delika bonus, you tarcho maizila. Here, everyone's going to go and jump to make sure this fire is put out. So there's a certain person who put money into wine. He was about to buy wine. Lesof shamadika bayu minsebe debe pirza. And then he heard that there was a government official who's going to come and wants this type of wine. So he knew that he's not going to actually end up with this wine. It's just going to be taken away from him. So he said, actually, can I have my money back? Never mind. I don't want this wine anymore. So just like we said, that you need a mashicha to iron out the sale when you're the seller, the same thing, the buyer, if he has not yet done mashicha, he's allowed to back out as well. So now the next Mishnah talks about Onaah. So we're going to end up reading the Mishnah again tomorrow. So we'll just start from the Mishnah. Tomorrow we have a shorter Amud Aleph, as you can see. So we'll just start from the Mishnah. But again, the Mishnah is going to talk about Onaah. Is it 1/6? Is it 1/3? How exactly? How long? What's the time frame that you have to go and make a claim in order to go and get your money back? And then we're going to have to go and do some math this is going to be fun. But let's just go over again what we did today. So we spoke about this machlokas, about the down payments. When you are kone part of it, if you give a payment for part of it, how much of it are you kone? So that was the machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Here we said that might be the same machlokas by a mashkon, canceling or not canceling a loan when it comes to Shemitah. Then we spoke about keeping yourself honest and making sure that you are hin tzedek, velav tzedek, that you should have shalit aberecha bepeh, v'yechad belev. All of this was a discussion over there. Then we got into a bigger discussion about whether smichas das by smaller gifts, by bigger gifts, how exactly all of that works. And we spoke about reneging on the deal. Are devarim, do they make you mechusrei amana? Going back on a verbal agreement, does that make you into an untrustworthy person or not? This was Daf Mem Tes. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.